your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. What's Doing in Western Michigan, a transcribed weekly roundup of the news in the towns, cities, and countryside of Western Michigan as gathered from the hometown newspapers received during the week in the WKZO newsroom. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. Here are the highlights of the week's news in Western Michigan. Three big fires in Sturgis, Big Rapids, and Three Rivers. The vote of the Coldwater School bond issue declared void. Farm Bureau stages drive for new members. AAA committeemen announced. County Boards of Supervisors hold annual meetings. Coldwater editor honored at press meeting. The city of Sturgis suffered its worst fire since 1917 last Sunday when flames gutted the three-story Masonic building. The total loss was estimated at $250,000. A drugstore, a dress shop, three private offices, and the Masonic club rooms were destroyed. The fire was discovered at 9 a.m. and was not brought under control until 4 in the afternoon. Firefighters from 10 neighboring communities assisted the Sturgis Fire Department in battling the blaze. Chief Peak and four firemen were injured, none of them seriously. An investigation of the fire has been launched, but it is believed that it originated in the furnace room. The Sturgis Journal carried a complete story of the fire and some fine pictures of it in the Monday issue. Other Sturgis news from the pages of the Sturgis Journal. The Supreme Court has sustained a circuit court decision in favor of the Kirsch Company of Sturgis, which had been sued for libel by Adolf Bostadter, a former city commissioner, because of an advertisement published in 1944. And the National Utilities Company of Michigan, which supplies Sturgis with gas, has asked for a 20% boost in rates. Fire at Three Rivers destroyed the Maine's funeral home chapel Wednesday afternoon with an estimated loss of $15,000, according to the Three Rivers commercial. Coldwater's special school bond election, which was held last month, has been ruled invalid by officials of the State Municipal Finance Commission. In this election, Coldwater voters overwhelmingly approved a bond issue of $200,000 to erect a new elementary school building. The state ruling makes it necessary to hold the election over again, according to the Coldwater Daily Reporter. The notice of the election was defective, it was asserted. And another objection had to do with the provision in the proposal that the bond should be payable starting not until 1949. The Coldwater Daily Reporter announced that Branch County was third in the number of chest x-rays taken at the county fairs last year in Michigan. Ranking ahead of Branch County were Lenawee and Allegan County fairs. And Coldwater has acquired a new industry. The Reynolds Spring Corporation of Jackson will open an assembly plant in that city on January the 19th. Daily newspaper editors, business, and industrial leaders met Friday evening at Coldwater for the second Midwest Conference on Community Relations. The conference is sponsored by the Michigan League of Home Dailies. The Community Relations Plan aims to help residents of smaller cities to realize the economic and cultural possibilities of community life. It was originated by L. Earl Davidson, editor and publisher of the Coldwater Daily Reporter. Editor Davidson was honored at Friday night's meeting. He also was honored in a full-page advertisement inserted in his newspaper by the Michigan League of Home Dailies, which read in part as follows.
Mr. Editor, your fellow publishers all over Michigan are taking this means of expressing to you and your readers their recognition of your efforts in creating a pattern of community relations which is being adopted as the basis for similar programs in small cities throughout the country. Your vision of the good community in which every major human need and aspiration can find expression is taking root all over America. It is growing into a vital and wholesome manifestation of mutual understanding, mutual confidence, and mutual regard. It is bringing to the small cities like yours and ours a fuller realization of their economic opportunities and way of life. The record in Coldwater speaks for itself. Certainly, such a record could only result from the cooperation of industry, business, labor, farming, and churches. We recognize a direct relationship between this fine cooperation and the fact that the Editor's Corner, your daily editorial column, has one of the highest percentages of readership of any similar column in the United States. Mr. Editor, we're in your corner.
This plan for better community relations ties into an editorial which we found in last Tuesday's Marshall Evening Chronicle, written by the editor James M. Moses. Writing about the accomplishments of the Marshall Chamber of Commerce, Editor Moses said,
"Marshall is expanding and diversifying. Some admittedly don't want it to grow, but we believe it's bound to grow because of the continuing shift from the metropolitan areas back to the smaller towns. If it is going to grow, we want to see a healthy growth that is as near planned as possible. Let's avoid being a helter-skelter town."
The official opening of the Ionia Winter Sports Area last Sunday was enjoyed by a large group of winter sports fans, even though the weather wasn't very cooperative. Sleds, toboggans, and even refrigerator tops, as the Ionia Sentinel Standard, were used to slide downhill. The clubhouse was open during the day, too. The Ionia Winter Sports Queen is to be crowned on January 25th. And the Ionia Sentinel Standard said this week that the contest is reported to be very close. Loyal friends and neighbors of Harold Whitcops at Greenville, whose home burned to the ground New Year's morning, rallied to his aid last week. A big sewing bee was to be held to secure clothing for the family. Just another example of fine American neighborliness. On an icy pavement north of Greenville last Sunday morning, a chain reaction automobile accident, as it was called by the Greenville Daily News, involved 8 automobiles. At Belding, the Belding Banner News tells us that a committee on better home and family living is very active. The idea behind that movement is to enlist the help of every organization in the community to enrich home life and promote better family relations. Belding is taking a religious census today. According to the Banner News, the churches, acting through the Belding Ministerial Association, are working together to obtain information concerning religious preferences. Officials of the West Michigan Tourist and Resort Association will conduct a meeting in Big Rapids next Tuesday evening, according to the Big Rapids Pioneer. The association is seeking new members and bringing information concerning its work and objectives. The Big Rapids Pioneer also announced last week that Mecosta County claimants to the number of 1,275 had received veterans' bonus checks, totaling over $468,000. And fire Thursday night destroyed the First Congregational Church in Big Rapids, with an estimated loss of $65,000. Only parts of the 4 walls are left standing. The cause of the fire is unknown, according to the Big Rapids Pioneer. Insurance to the amount of $34,000 was carried. It was the worst fire in Big Rapids in several years. Well, Holland is looking forward to selecting its city officials. A nonpartisan primary election will be held February 16th, and Mayor Ben Steffens has announced that he will be a candidate for re-election. Holland is suffering from a measles epidemic, according to the Holland Evening Sentinel. 39 cases of red measles have been reported in that city since the first of the year, according to Dr. C.D. Barrett, Jr., County Health Director. And the Evening Sentinel last week announced that 16 courses, including 5 new ones, would be offered in the Holland Public Evening School. The titles of these new courses rather intrigued us. They're listed as Astronomy, Community Chorus, Our Town, Salesmanship, and First Aid. Over at South Haven, the Kiwanis Club last week honored Dr. Lee A. Musser by presenting him with a gold wristwatch in recognition of outstanding community service. Dr. Musser has served South Haven professionally for 35 years. And the South Haven Daily Tribune announced last week that the employees of the Board of Public Works are going to receive increases in pay, averaging about 10%. And now for some of the stories in the news, here's Ed Lasko.
Lost. 2 years ago, my extra big tomcat, gray with some white and some black, very cuddly, very smart. If you see him, let me know. I have the measles. Billy, Jim, Tommy Brown, care of South Haven Chemical Company. That ad appeared in last Monday's South Haven Daily Tribune. Well, Greenville's New Year's baby lived only a few hours. The merchants put together the cash value of the presents they had planned to give the baby and presented them to the family. The father, William Fabrizio, is a veteran of the Navy Amphibious Corps in the Pacific and is attending school under the GI Bill of Rights. The Nashville parents of a University of Michigan student, Roger Shaw, had an international Christmas. Roger brought home with him for the holidays an Indian, a Chinese, and a Greek student. After he got back to Ann Arbor, the Chinese student wrote his parents in China a letter telling of his visit to Nashville. It read in part as follows. Mr. Shaw's father is a big farmer, possessing about 100 pigs, cows, and many tall horses. In his family, nobody drinks, smokes, and gambles. Almost every people I met with them in their village is so friendly and so well educated. This is really an ideal family and the most ideal village I never saw before. Mr. Shaw's mother loaded me many apples and candies in my pockets when I left their home. This made me recall that mother saw me off in Shanghai Wharf 4 months ago, and my homesick suffered me no sleeping through whole night. Well, a big display ad announcing a pre-inventory sale by the Vaughn Company in Marshall appeared last week in the Marshall Evening Chronicle. In big black letters, it was headed, "We don't want them, you can have them, they're too much for us." And then the bargains. A notice in the want ad section of last week's Allegan News. Elizabeth, father will let me use the horse and cutter to take you to see East Lynn. I will stop in Mr. Tripp's apothecary shop for the seats. Signed, Jonathan. And here's a headline from last Thursday's Greenville Daily News. 25 women's fingers fly at Whitcop Sewing Bee. Our question is, how many women were at the sewing bee? Were 25 women or 25 fingers at work? Now back to Dr. Dunbar.
Here and there in the news. Last Wednesday afternoon, the Allegan County Jail contained just one occupant, a 65-year-old woman who had been visiting relatives in Canada and was on her way home to Sarasota, Florida when she ran out of money. A state trooper found her in a car parked near Douglas on U.S. 31. That story is in the Allegan News. The Allegan Gazette quotes city manager P.H. Beauvais as asking the question, is stream pollution becoming another political football? In an address last Tuesday evening before the members of the Allegan County Conservation League. The city of Allegan, which was among the first to attempt elimination of sewage in the Kalamazoo River for pollution offenses, he is quoted as saying. And by the way, Western Michigan Forum will bring you a discussion of this problem of stream pollution next Sunday, that's 1 week from today, at 2:00. The Allegan Gazette also states that restaurant owners in Allegan County are going to take a food sanitation course. A county health survey in that county had revealed unsanitary conditions in public eating places. The Vicksburg Commercial last week told of a meeting in the Chamber of Commerce in that town in which Forrest Weinberg spoke on the problem of the Kalamazoo County Road Commission in naming roads throughout the county and numbering the houses. ...of Kalamazoo was the principal speaker. 80 firemen for a total of 342 years each received Stopolis Vigilant. Otsego has a new Baptist pastor. He's Reverend Gordon D. Northrup, formerly of Owosso, says the Otsego Union. A story about the station in that city during 1947. If placed in pint bottles set up end to end, the Hastings banner said, it would reach. That's a lot of. The banner also carried a nice picnic. Hastings and their mother, born New Year's Eve. Union reports that city is to have an ice skating rink lighted by floodlights. The Watervliet record tells of state highway commands to widen M-140, which runs through Watervliet, making it into a new U.S. 31, the highway which runs along the west coast of the state up to the Straits. And that's what's doing in Western Michigan, as reported in the newspapers, received last week in the W. Back next Sunday at 1:45 with another transcribed edition of your hometown newspaper of the air and what's doing in Western Michigan.